Well, hello, Grace Bible Church family. It's great to see you once again. Just a little bit of update for those that haven't received some of the updates we've been putting out on the prayer chain, one specifically yesterday. What we're going to try to do this week is something that really hopefully is a blessing to our congregation. Of course, along with our Wednesday night Bible lessons we'll be doing every Wednesday. This particular week, we are going to, for those that are familiar with what we've done over the last 20 years, we've had what was called our Good Friday service here at the church from 12 to 3 on Good Friday. And we've had roughly 7 preachers from around the area come preach little mini sermons with some special music in their section. And this was a real blessing, of course, because of the coronavirus. We're not able to do it this year, but this year we have something I believe is better. Pastor Spencer will be giving a sermon from his home on Good Friday service. I think that will be a blessing. I think they even have some special music in mind. So I know that will be a blessing for those that can stay tuned into what we're trying to do here by video. So that will come this Friday. And then Sunday morning, we plan on having 2 services, so to speak. We're having our sunrise service with Pastor Sam Wolcott, and he'll be doing some special music. And then we will also be having on Sunday our Easter service with some specials. And, of course, I'll be preaching the word for that service. So be looking for that. Again, if you have if you catch word of someone who doesn't have maybe access to the internet to be able to watch these videos from their computer or their phone, please let us know, because we have options to give them CDs or DVDs where they can still watch those sermons and specials. So let us know about that. Call us at the church. We'd love to try to take care of those situations as well. So as we are here this Wednesday night, we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. So if you're at home and you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Pastor Herm just finished up in Ephesians chapter 3, and so I'll give a little bit of review of what Pastor Herm was talking about, because it really kind of flows or transitions into what Paul is teaching here in Ephesians chapter 4. So what I'm going to read here is verses 1 through 10 in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll probably not go that far this evening. But I did want to get us a little bit of a foundation of where Paul is going to be going with this teaching to the church of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things." Let's stop for a moment and pray before we get into our study. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the inspired scripture that we can glean from in our lives as believers. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and using him in a great way for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the edification and education of the believer. And so, Lord, I pray that we will glean during the month of April as we work through Ephesians chapter 4. I pray that you would glean, we would glean what you would want us to see about unity, about spiritual maturity, togetherness, forgiveness, edification, all the things that Paul wants these believers to learn, I believe you want us to learn as well from your word. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pastor Herm, working through Ephesians chapter 3, pointed out some vital teaching to the church in Ephesus. And first thing he talks about is the mystery. The mystery, which is the New Testament church. It is this new truth that the New Testament church was made up of not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. And we know that the Jews were God's chosen people and that he made his covenant with the nation of Israel. But due to the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, now Jew and Gentile make up the New Testament church. And this mystery is revealed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we see the relationship. The relationship that through Christ, this new relationship, this new union we have not only to Christ through faith in Jesus, but also this new relationship we have to the body, to other believers. And if you want to take a peek back in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, this is Jesus of course, we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Because of this new relationship we have through Jesus Christ, we now can have boldness. We can now have a new confidence in this access that we now have to God. And so now through faith in Jesus Christ, we have access to the Heavenly Father. We have access to the throne of God. And that these special relationships and union that we have through Christ, we can now come boldly to the Lord. Ephesians 4:16 was a verse he shared last week, and if you want to turn there quickly, or maybe mark some of these verses down, because I plan on using a lot of scripture this evening, so if you want to jot them down and refer to them later. Ephesians 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the word boldly there, parousia, in the Greek means free utterance, being outspoken or being able to speak freely. Maybe someone has come to you and said, may I speak frankly? Or may I speak freely to you? And you kind of know at that point it's time to grab on the table, hold on, because you know something great's coming. And that's the mindset that the Lord has, that we should be able to boldly, to speak freely, to be outspoken to him, that we may find or obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. And so this new faith brings a new relationship, which also brings new access to our Heavenly Father. And so we can be confident that he will help us in a time of need. And obviously, as we're doing this Bible study, it's during this pandemic. And during this time, I spoke a couple weeks about how important it is that we utilize this time to seek the Lord. Seek his face in our study. Seek his face in our prayer life. And boldly, with confidence, come before him in a time of need. And we obviously know that we're in a time of need during this crisis that we're going through. Well, during this time, we should be boldly coming before the Lord to find that help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, again, thinking about faith, focusing on faith here, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking him in the Greek really says seeking him with painstaking effort. When's the last time that you did something with painstaking effort? Maybe it's digging that tree root up out of your ground. You know, what's the last time that we went with painstaking effort seeking the Lord and doing it with faith? So as we start transitioning here to chapter 4, we see now the transition. The transition. First, we see the mystery that was revealed through Christ, where it brings salvation to all who believe. And then we see the relationship that we have in Christ, which brings access to God in our relationship with Him, but then also the transition where we have for Christ, which produces service for God. Paul's teaching in chapter 4 of the building up of the body of Christ is the mindset of spiritual maturity, but then also the unification that needs to take place in the body of Christ. You think about, you know, the building process. If you were going to do a building, I've never been a contractor. I only know a few of them, but I would have to imagine in my crude example here that, you know, you would start this building project with an architect who would draw up the plans to be very precise. And then from there, you would go to the site where a foundation would be established. And then from there, you would do the framework. And then once the framework's completed, you would start building up this building around the framework. When you really think about the architect, well, we know the architect is God, and that everything is according to His perfect plan. We know that the foundation we have through Jesus Christ, that He is the foundation for the church and for all believers. We know that the framework is the Holy Spirit of God, setting firm the things that we have been taught by the Word of God. And of course, the building up occurs around the Word of God and the edification and the unification of the body. You know, building up, as we go through chapter 4, the theme that Paul's trying to implement here, first, it's building up in our calling and our service to the Lord. That all believers are called to serve. But also the building up in the exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, His Spirit. Also, the building up of our spiritual gifts that we will have once we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord will utilize those gifts in our lives for the purpose of unifying the body of Christ. Also, being steadfast in the Word of God and sound doctrine. Also, the importance of building up this new life that we now have in Christ. Building up the encouragement and the edification of the body of Christ, but then also the building up of forgiveness. Yes, we long to be forgiven by God, but we are to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So when we see this establishment of a new church, we also have to realize that through that, there must be a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And we think about this new man, this miracle that occurs at salvation. Unfortunately, I think if we look too much into our television sets, we will see many religious movements where they feel the need for the magnificent, the miraculous. And so they cling to healings and prophecy and speaking in tongues. A few days ago, I heard of a so-called modern-day prophet who blew away the coronavirus with the breath of God. Well, as I did a little bit of research, since this occurred Sunday, I did some research yesterday, and as of yesterday, the coronavirus reached a new time high in new cases. It also reached a new height in deaths in a 24-hour period of time. There was 30,000 new cases and almost 2,000 new deaths in a 24-hour period of time. So we have to be careful of those false prophets. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but if you want to peek down to Ephesians 4, 13 and 15, we really see Paul really starting to implement the importance of spiritual maturity and staying sound in doctrine so that we don't fall to those false prophets, those wolves in sheep's clothing. In Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, spiritually immature, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or the breath of the wind of God, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's so important that as we continue this time in our homes, that we continue to study the Word of God, that we try to strive towards spiritual maturity so we're not tossed to and fro. Now, we'll get into that in more detail probably in the upcoming weeks in that part of Scripture there. But he's really implementing the importance of spiritual maturity. And so chapter 4 will focus on the conduct of the church. You know, we'll all have different duties because of the privileges we now have in, by faith in Christ. We have new privileges. We just talked about one. Now we have the ability, the access to God, and that we can come boldly before him. We have many privileges, but we also have many duties. And so as a body of believers, we're going to have different callings and different tasks and different duties. That all of these need to come together towards the goal of development, of growth, of edification of the body of Christ. And so Paul begins chapter 4 focusing on the walk and service of the believer. And in verse 1 says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So Paul again emphasizes the bonds of affliction that he is enduring for the cause of Christ. And ultimately, it is due to his position in Christ. Now, we can sit there and analyze different types of positions. Obviously, Paul's position was an apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor. My position is a pastor. And there's others that have maybe the positions of youth pastor or a missionary or evangelist. But ultimately, we all have the position of being a Christian. We all have the position of being a Christ follower, or being like Christ. And ultimately, that position, we are all potential candidates to have to suffer affliction for the cause of Jesus Christ. So as he emphasizes again his bond of affliction for the cause, he also urges and challenges these believers to walk and serve the Lord. So as we continue here in our text, we really see the power of the testimony. And you know, during this time, hopefully we embrace the power of our testimony. And I know this is a difficult time, but I can tell you this is a time that the world's watching, and others in the nation are watching how Christians respond, how they act, and how we live as believers. Our testimony is very important, and I promise you there are family members that are going to be watching how we're responding. Do we have a life of faith and trust in the Lord, and that we are willing to wait patiently, not only for him to fulfill his perfect will, but his perfect timing? And in verse 1 he says, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The word beseech, parakaleo, means to call to one side, to urge, to exhort, to encourage. And so Paul is bringing urgency behind this teaching that he's about ready to give them in this chapter. And he's urging them to walk worthy. To walk worthy. When you think about our walk, I've seen a lot of people recently walking around just to kind of get out of the house. Of course, still abiding into social distancing, but walking around, maybe walking their dogs, and just enjoying our springtime and the weather. Those that knew me know that I probably would be walking all over the place if I could, but Spencer chained me to the pulpit, and so I have to stay behind the pulpit here. But I'd be walking around if I could. But that's not what he's talking about by our walk. He's talking about our lives as believers. How we live out our lives daily in our lives. Again, reflecting on the importance of the testimony. And how are we to walk? How are we to live? We are to walk worthy. The word worthy there in the Greek is axios, which means deserving. So we are to live out our lives as believers in a way that is deserving of our calling. The calling that we've been called. The word vocation, klesis, in the Greek means calling. And this is not referring to a calling like a pastor or a missionary or a youth pastor or an evangelist. It's talking about our calling as a Christian, our calling as a Christ follower, and that all believers have that calling on their lives to live like Christ, to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called, to walk worthy of Jesus Christ. And so Paul expresses this concept to the church of Philippi. So if you want to flip over a couple pages to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You know, the word conversation there, just like walk, isn't necessarily talking about walking physically. This isn't necessarily talking about our communication. Thus, our communication is part of our testimony. We have to know that. But this is talking about citizenship. It's talking about a way of life. And that our way of life should becometh. Now, becometh there is the same Greek word, axios, as worthy in Ephesians chapter 1. And it means worthy, deserving. What are we to communicate or live worthy? We are to live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to live in a way that glorifies the Lord and the gospel. And so Paul's not making a suggestion here, if you want to flip back to our text. He's not making a suggestion here that we should, you know, live in a way that's worthy, walking worthy of the gospel of Christ, or make a suggestion that it's something that he recommends. He's saying that we must. That is our calling, that we are to glorify the Lord. All born-again believers are called to glorify the Lord, and it's not just pastors and evangelists and missionaries. You know, the world is watching, and they want to see real believers. They want to see a genuine faith in Christ. And more times than not, the only way they can see this is by the way we live, by the way we walk, our testimony. You know, in verse 2 here, it says, "With all loneliness and in meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." With all loneliness there, in the Greek means humility, but it's also focusing more in the way of having loneliness of mind. So it's basically a mind brought low. It's basically a mindset that is totally opposite from pride. And that with that humility, we are to have meekness, which is mildness, gentleness, being considerate according to the Greek. But also the mentality here is that what it's reflecting here is the acceptance that we should have as believers with God's dealings with us, without resisting. You know, as a parent, we often talk to our children, and when it comes to discipline, we let them know that they are to accept those consequences, accept that discipline without resisting. But yet as adults, many times we struggle with that ourselves. You know, the mindset here with meekness here is that we are to be able to not only accept our dealings from God, but then also accept the dealings of others. Long-suffering there in the Greek means patience, endurance, steadfastness. Forbearing means a covering. So we are to be a covering of each other in love. And so what Paul is teaching here is that that we are to be accepting, but then also loving each other despite our faults and failures. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make failures in life, or we're going to sometimes hurt people or do something wrong. But we still need to cover each other in love, be humble, be patient, and cover one another in love. And Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, we see this mindset again. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And unfortunately, even in Paul's day, there were many believers that wanted the mercy and grace of God, but yet struggled with demonstrating that or giving mercy and grace to others. The word love there, agape, which means affection of the highest Christian virtue. And also we see it in describing God's divine and sacrificial love for us. So we know from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we have to remember that Paul is making a transition in his teaching. A transition to what should be occurring in the lives as believers individually, but then also the transition that should be occurring with this unity that must occur in the church and the body collectively. Verse 3 here. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, we are to be united with God the Father and Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. We are to be united with the inspired Scriptures. And that's one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit we see here is His function of unity. The function of bringing unity not only to the Lord, but then also to the body of Christ. Also to the inspired Scriptures where He can illuminate or bring to light the Word of God to us. So that we can receive this guidance and direction that we need to get success in our lives as believers. Also unity in the body of Christ, unity in the church. But know this, there needs to be obedience and willingness to be led by the Spirit. There has to be obedience, but there also has to be willingness to be led. Again, the word endeavoring there means to make speed or to make haste, which means that we should quickly be trying to stay united without hesitation. And what helps us to stay united is the Holy Spirit. You know, through the Holy Spirit, we are united or baptized into one body by the Spirit of God. If you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we're slaves or not, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit instills this unity to the believer. Unity with Christ, but then also unity with the body. But it's up to the believer to maintain that unity. It's up to the believer to maintain that bond in peace. Now, we see a perfect example as I finish up here. I'm running out of time. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we see a perfect example of two believers that were faithful, but yet they were not in unity, in the bond of peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. These are two faithful believers in Jesus Christ, and yet they didn't have the bond of unity, that bond of peace. And Paul is urging those women to come together in unity, and if they're not able to do it themselves, for the body to assist them, to help them come together, because unity in the body is so, so important. And so the teaching here in the beginning of this is that quickly, we need to stay united as a body in the Spirit, maintaining that bond of peace that we all share through Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to occur is full surrender. It's not going to, you know, we can't partially surrender to the Lord and to His Holy Spirit. We can't, as some partnerships, they say, I'll have 70, you have 30%, I'll take 80, 20. We can't choose the amount. It's only going to occur if we fully surrender to the Lord. Fully surrender to the Word of God. Fully surrender to His Holy Spirit. But then also when it comes to be united in the body of Christ, that can't be partial either. We have to be completely united and in the bond of peace for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's where I'll finish our lesson this evening. I'll pick up next week with the oneness that we have through Christ. The oneness that we have through Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer, and I pray that you have a good evening. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless those that have been watching this video. Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing as we continue to strive in unity. We strive in oneness. We strive in spiritual maturity in our lives. And I pray that would be something that even while we're stuck in our homes, we would spend this time studying your word and seeking your face and allow your spirit to really minister to our hearts and our lives. And so that when we come back at some point in this church, we will be united and have oneness in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our evening, and we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do this weekend as we celebrate a risen Savior. I'm so excited about this weekend. Lord, I pray that you be glorified through it all. We'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray you have a great evening. And again, be looking out for Spencer's message on Friday. God bless.